mature, when I became an adult. In the Greek language, the word there is teleos, and it speaks of maturity, growth. He said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. So there's some things we got to put away. Amen. Jesus used the expression digging deep. We got to dig out the old way of thinking and seeing things and responding to things. And in the process of digging out the old, how do you dig out the old? By doing the new. That's what Jesus taught us. And we've had messages on that. I'm not going to try to re-preach all that this morning. We put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now, verse 12 doesn't change the subject. Verse 12 is an expansion of the subject, because we see at the heart of being able to speak or respond differently is our ability to understand, or break it down on a more practical level, see things differently. So when he goes from putting away childish things, childish thoughts, childish ways of looking at things, childish ways of responding to things, and then he goes right into, for now we see. So 1 Corinthians 13 is not just a love chapter. It's the growing up chapter, and it's the ability to see things differently chapter, if you will. Now, we've made this statement. We'll keep making it. Growth is the key to lasting change. Growth is the key to lasting change. Think of all the things that you've outgrown in your life. Amen? Both physically, and we can outgrow things like depression. We can outgrow things like addiction. We can outgrow things like gossiping. We can outgrow things like bad temper. Getting really quiet up in here. We can outgrow those things. Are you following me? I've heard different people over the years say things like, well, you know, I'm still a little rough around the edges. Okay, well, you've been saying that for 20 years. I mean, at some point, those edges need to be smoothed out, rounded off. Are you following me? That's growth. But that requires growth, and growth doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen accidentally. It happens deliberately, on purpose, cooperating with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word of God. Now, in these verses, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is revealing the template, we could say the pattern, for true and lasting change. And that, of course, is in those three components of how we think, how we understand, and how we speak. But remember, we've broken those down into our thinking. Our understanding is how you see things. Have you lived long enough to realize that not everybody sees things the way you see them? Are you with me? Amen? So your understanding is how you see things, how you process things. And then words are how you respond to those things. And so these three work together. They stand together. They produce results together in the same way that faith, hope, and love do. And so when we talk about our thinking, our understanding, and our responding changing, then these other basics, if you will, of the life God created us to live, faith, hope, and love, and how those apply together. We've made this statement more than once. Again, we'll make it again this morning. If real and lasting change is going to take place in our lives, it must take place at that level. You can't keep thinking and seeing things and responding to things the way you've always thought and saw them and responded to them and have any lasting change in your life reality. And so this is what the Holy Spirit wants to help us with. As a matter of fact, this is at the root of what Jesus called discipleship, what the Bible calls discipleship. Now, there is much more available for us to experience and enjoy, but we must grow to realize it. Not grow to earn it, because he's already freely given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already blessed you, according to the Word of God, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. A lot of times people hear a message related to this, and then they start talking, you know, their minds immediately go into a world's way of understanding, a world's way of looking at things, which is, okay, what do I got to do to earn this? What do I got to do to get God to do such and such for me? My brother, my sister, God has already done such and such for you. He's already freely given it to you. And all of that is in you right now. So it's the understanding that's lagging behind. It's the understanding that needs to grow and develop. Now, I'm going to come back to that understanding part, but let's move forward here. Again, we must grow to realize. I use these words very intentionally, okay? We talk about your inner person and your outward person. Your inner man, woman, spirit, soul, your outward is your physical life. And so there's, just like there's an inward person and an outward person, there's an inward reality and an outward reality. Are you following me? And the outward is not yet completely reflecting the inward. Amen. Are you with me? And so your spirit has been born again. Your soul or the part of you that understands things, the way you look at things, that's your soul, your mind, emotions, and will. This is the part that's in a constant state of growth, progress, and renewal. Can you see things more clearly today than you could 5 years ago or whatever? It's not that all of a sudden God decided to come through for you now and was holding out on you before. It's that you're seeing things and now watch, responding to things. Let's just break it down even more clearly. You're responding differently, or we could even say better now to Him, to who He is, to what He said to you and to what He's done for you. Amen. All right, let's keep going here. Well, this, if it's not clear to you now, it's going to be clear. Now, all of these three points right here, we could and have and do in discipleship class spend weeks and weeks on this. But the Bible speaks in terms of our putting on Christ and then growing up into Him in all things. Now, again, if you look at your own life, there are some areas of putting on Christ that we've made more progress in than other areas, right? And again, the Bible says there's a weakness or a sin that easily besets us as individuals. What may be a strength for you may be a weakness for somebody else and vice versa. But God knows you individually, and He's helping you and wanting to work with you on an individual basis. But again, when you're born again, that's when you put on Christ. And then discipleship is where we grow up into Him in all things. Amen. Then the Bible also speaks in terms of us stepping up into our rights, privileges, and benefits as children of God and registered citizens of the kingdom of heaven. These are things that we must step up into. One way that He says that is if we add to our faith a whole list of things, He says then an abundant entrance will be provided for us. In other words, it'll be very easy for us with all of those things working in our lives to step up into what belongs to us as sons and daughters of God. Step up into our purpose. Step up into the benefits and privileges and rights and blessings. Now, just because you've been given rights, privileges, blessings, and benefits doesn't mean you're taking advantage of those things. Are you following me? Doesn't mean you're enjoying the benefits of those things. And so what happens because people try to, again, look at all of this the way the world looks at a promotion or a raise at work or whatever. You got to earn it. You got to deserve it. And even then you might not get it and blah, blah, blah. You know, that's not how that's, you're looking at it through the eyes of the flesh instead of the eyes of the spirit. Amen. And so we're not trying to become something that we're not. Are you following me? That's what a lot of people's like, well, you know, I'm just going to try to be a better person. You already are. If you're born again, you're the best. They don't get no better than Jesus. And you've been born of His seed and you become a partaker of His divine nature. His nature's in you. Amen. Well, I'm just trying to be the best version of myself possible. Are you following? You don't have multiple personalities. You've got the nature of God in you. Amen. So we're wanting the inward realities of the new birth to become outward expressions of life. And if that's ever going to happen, it's going to have to go from your born again spirit through your soul, through your understanding, outward into the world around you. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? All right. So, I'm trying to look at some things. So let me, I left one out. All right. So number one, Putting on Christ and growing up into him. To a lot of people, that's like, huh? Are you following what I'm saying? They have no comprehension of what that means, what that looks like. Do you realize that that's a huge part of why we're all here this morning? Again, not to be entertained by some songs and hear some cute message. We're here to we've put on Christ, now we're growing up into him. Amen. And we want to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls, which is able to bring the same radical transformation to our soul that has already taken place in our born-again spirit. Now, stepping up into our rights. See, people have this idea of, well, you know, if God wants me to have it, he'll figure out a way to get it to me. No, you've got to go after these things. Stepping up into our rights, privileges, and benefits as children of God and registered citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Stepping up into means there's something you've got to do to experience, not to earn it. Not to deserve it. Not because, you know, if you go to church sit long enough, God will finally owe you something. No, he don't owe you anything. He freely gives you all things. I've been a good person, you know. God ought to hear my prayers. See, again, we think we got to earn something. We had people praying in 17 states. What did Jesus say? Don't think you'll be heard for your much asking. See, we think like if we can just get enough volume of prayer. Are you, again, all of this goes to understanding, or we could say wrong understanding, wrong way of looking at things. Well, if you look at it wrong, you're going to respond to it wrong. If you think just because you pray for 1,000 hours and put in 20,000 words of prayer, and now because you've done that, it's like you've earned some kind of like get out of jail free card with God or some kind of token that you can hold on to. Oliver gets these things at school called a jag coin. They're the River Chase Elementary Jaguars. And he gets a jag coin for being good. And he can go cash them in for ice cream in the lunchroom, stuff like that, right? I think people's like, well, you know, we got us a few tokens in reserve, you know. Jeff and Wendy were telling one of their relatives one time about believing God for a good parking space. And the relative looked at him and said, why would you want to waste one of your answered prayers on something so trivial? Like you've only got like some genie and you got 3 requests every quarter or something, you know? And so you follow what I'm saying? It's like, all right, man, you got 6 answers from me for the next 5 years. So use them wisely. No, that's not how this works. It's not how any of this works. All right. Then, the Bible also speaks in terms of pressing to lay hold of all that Jesus put within reach for you when he laid hold of you. But because there's pressing, that implies what? There's resistance. There's some force that's trying to prevent you or stop you. Amen or oh me. All right. Now, we have an enemy, and Jesus says he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you've been given power and authority over him. If you have been born again and you have the power and authority in you right now to destroy the works of the devil by doing the same works that Jesus did. The potential you possess as a born again child of God makes you a serious threat to the devil. Now, look, watch this. Luke 12:32. Jesus speaking, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What's the context here? They're thinking far, far, far beneath God giving them the kingdom. This may be a little silly, but let me try to give you some example here, okay? It would be like you wanting the Taco Bell in Hueytown, and God's like, I've given you the whole chain of Taco Bells. Are you wanting, like, you know, to borrow $10,000 from the bank, and God's like, every region's bank in the Southeast is yours. Or That's the context here. They're like, you know, how can we just get a little something to eat? You know, a few clothes to wear. You don't have to be nice, just clothes, you know, just something to cover us up. Right? And Jesus is like, not only has Father given you the kingdom, it's his pleasure to do it. It's his pleasure to do it. Now, obviously, God's will, what God wants are wills, and what pleases him or gives him pleasure are connected. They're related. So this is something that Father desires to do. We don't associate pleasure with something that we don't necessarily desire to do, but we need to do, or it's like some responsibility, or you know, it's like we're obligated now. I mean, we're going to do it. We're going to make good on it, but doesn't necessarily mean we're going to enjoy it, right? No, this isn't just something that God's obligated to do or that he reluctantly does. It's something that he eagerly does. He takes pleasure in giving you the kingdom. Amen. All right. Now, listen, we've already taught in discipleship class over 2 hours on the kingdom, and we've still got probably 45 minutes to go. And that's just kingdom, what we call kingdom overview in discipleship class. So obviously there's a lot here. I'm using this as an example to get us to a couple of other things this morning before we go home. All right. So now look at what he says in Luke 17, 20 and 21. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here or see there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is where? It's within you." Within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Now, in Hebrews, and we haven't even got to this in great detail yet, but we're talking about understanding, obviously. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, by faith we understand. Okay? In this context, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Amen. Now, when you hear something like the kingdom is within you, you'll never understand that with human reasoning. You're going to have to understand it by faith. What does that mean? Check your brain at the door? No, it means you believe it's true because God says it's true. And because you believe it's true because God said it's true, you begin to act upon it as if it's true. Are you following me? And in that doing, you begin to see things not through the lens of this world, but through the lens of Father's kingdom. Now, again, there's hours of teaching here, but I'm trying to show you from these basic verses that Father's plan for you includes get you into his kingdom. How does he do that? If you're going to be in the kingdom and see the kingdom, you must be born again. There's only one way in. You must be born again. John chapter 3. Jesus taught that specifically and revealed it to us through a conversation that he had with a very intelligent Jewish leader named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus couldn't see how Jesus was doing the miracles that he was doing. And Jesus said, "You will never see it unless you're born again. You'll never see the kingdom unless you're born again." And then he says, unless you're born of water, natural birth, and spirit, spiritual birth, you will never enter into the kingdom. So again, we could teach on these things for hours, but the bottom line of it is Father's plan for you includes getting you into his kingdom. Amen. Then his plan includes give you his kingdom. So we are in the kingdom, and now the kingdom is in us. Are you following me? Just like the Bible teaches, we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. Are you following me? So we're in it, and it's in us. The kingdom is in us. We're in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in us. We're in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in us. Watch this now. Jesus said, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are in the kingdom in this world, but we're not of this world. Our citizenship is the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says. Are you following me? So what's the deal? The deal is because we're in this kingdom and on this earth, we have the authority and power of our Father's kingdom to make a mark on this world that can't be erased. To bring transformation to people's lives in this world. So then notice, give you his kingdom, then put his kingdom in you. Put his kingdom in you. So he wants us, watch this now. You've heard the expression, take ownership. When someone takes ownership, well, let's say that your boss at work, you work for some company, and your boss, they got a new project, and the boss says, I want you to take ownership of this. He's not talking about taking ownership of the company. He's talking about taking ownership of that project. Okay? All right. Now, I'm not trying to talk up both sides of my mouth, but if you understand the concept of taking ownership of something, that's why Jesus has given this kingdom to us, because he wants you and me to take ownership. Matthew 16:19, Matthew 18:18. Behold, I give to you the keys to the kingdom. If somebody gave you a car but never gave you keys to it, it might be your car, but you can't operate with that car unless and until you have the keys to that car. Are you following me? So when he said, I'm giving you the keys, he also said, I'm giving you the kingdom. He's given us the kingdom and the keys. Are you following me? So what, again, you don't have to have a doctorate in theology to recognize what he's communicating through this. He's wanting you to take ownership of what he's given to you. Very, very few of God's people on planet Earth today have taken ownership of the kingdom that has been given to them. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Please go with me. Please go with me. What percentage of the body of Christ has ever heard this, much less understood it? When I teach on these things in discipleship class, and obviously more people come to discipleship class than actually attend this church, as far as me being their pastor and what have you, okay? And so a lot of times I get on this subject and people are just sitting there with their mouths open. People who were raised in church that never had any of this explained to them, right? Can I tell you what most people understand about the kingdom? Hopefully we will make it to heaven one day when we die. That's what people understand about the kingdom. When you start telling somebody, if you've been born again, you're already in the kingdom. Entering the kingdom by Jesus' teaching doesn't mean go to heaven when you die. Entering the kingdom is what happens to you when you're born again. But see, because people are invited to come receive Jesus, because don't you want to go to heaven and not hell? Their whole understanding how you see things. You follow me? How they understand the kingdom of heaven is a place you go to when you die, and hopefully you'll be among the handful of people that go in the rapture. Now, listen to me, please. What makes this even more unfortunate or more sad is the one thing Jesus taught about more than any other subject while he was here on the earth for 3 years was the kingdom. Rarely did he open his mouth and speak that he did not teach us about the kingdom while he was on the earth. The whole thing began with John the Baptist preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus preached, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first 12 apostles preached, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first 70 missionaries preached, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, did they not have anything else to talk about? Sure, they had a lot more things to talk about, but nothing more important to talk about. There's a priority to things. There's a timing to things. And God in his infinite wisdom knew that from the forerunner who was preparing people to receive Jesus all the way through, if you go to the end of the book of Acts, you see that in the end of the book of Acts, Paul is under house arrest. People are coming to him basically 24 hours a day to hear him teach on, guess what? The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. If you look at, again, what Jesus taught us about, what he preach to us and reveal to us more than any other subject. So that alone ought to tell us how important this is. But again, there's resistance. The devil, he is hoping you don't believe the kingdom's in you. He's hoping you never believe you've been given the kingdom. He's hoping that you never understand what it means to be given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. His worst nightmare is for you to wake up in the morning realizing you've got the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That puts you in charge, not him. So again, it's resistance. You start telling people about the kingdom, they're like, well, where did this all come from? It's like, have you not read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Now, why is Jesus trying so hard, putting so much time and effort in to producing understanding about his Father's kingdom? Because if Father gives us the kingdom and puts us in the kingdom and puts the kingdom in us, right, but we have no understanding of it, it's going to make little to zero difference in our life reality and the world around us. I said we were going to be plain and practical this year. This is plain and practical. I think it was the response I will never forget. The circumstances leading up to the response, as far as how old he was and exactly what the gift was, is a little bit fuzzy. I don't think Samuel was born yet, so Oliver would have been around 3 years old. And his mind is fascinating to me. When he was in kindergarten, he wanted me to guess, all the kids out there wanting to, you know, waiting to go home. And he would say, like, if he was in here, he would correct me from the back right now, but he would say, Susie or whatever, you know. He would name a student out there waiting for the bus or waiting to be picked up. And he would say, do you think Susie does carpool, bus, taekwondo, or YMCA? And I would go, I don't know, bus. He goes, nope, taekwondo. Then he would ask me, every student in his class, he knew, I'm not kidding you. So it was about six or seven into it, and I said, well, I did get two right. He goes, no, Granddaddy, you got three right. You said so-and-so went here, and they went there. He regurgitated all of it back to me. They're watching Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Last scene of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Oliver says, there's only six dwarfs in that scene. Jake pauses the movie, counts them. Where's seventh dwarf? Now, again, there's a lot of people listening to me right now on the line. I don't know of anybody in my life that I've ever met that realized there was only six dwarfs in the last scene. Okay, so you said, I could go on, all right? But anyway, it's fascinating. All right. So he loves patterns, and so it was, you know the game Connect Four, where you slide the checkers down and you try to connect four? I thought he would really enjoy that, so I came in. I said, buddy, Granddaddy got you a gift. I got you this. This game is called Connect Four. This is what he said. Are you ready? Granddaddy, you teach me how to do it, and I'll get good at it. You teach me how to do it, and I'll get good at it. Now, what is he saying there? I don't have any idea how to do this, but I know I have the potential to do this if you will just give me the understanding. Do you see this, right? See, this is the attitude that we need towards the things of God. Jesus, you teach me how to heal the sick, and I'll get good at it. See, everybody's like, heal the sick? You can't heal the sick. Who do you think you are saying you can heal the sick? You trying to be like Jesus now, actually? We're told to be an imitator. Are we not? Did Jesus not say, the works that I do, you'll do also, and greater works than thee? Are you following me? How about this one? Jesus, you teach me how to give and honor you with my money, and I'll get good at it. Because does the Bible not say, if you give bountifully, you will harvest bountifully, and that you will have enough and then some to give financially to every good work? People say, well, you know, I've got so much money to go around. See, they start from, I don't have the potential to do that. Are you following me? They start, you know, this is, again, where the devil's trying to, he never wants you to understand, meaning see, through the lens of who you are in Christ Jesus, what belongs to you because of who you are in Christ Jesus, what God's done for you and given to you because of who you, he never wants you to understand any of this. Again, I'm using the word intentionally. Understanding of and knowledge of are not the same thing. There are a lot of people who have knowledge of the kingdom, but they don't look at life and circumstances and respond to situations and issues in their lives and the lives of other people from a kingdom perspective. We don't look to the kingdom or through the lens of the kingdom. We look to money. We look to Google. We look, are you following what I'm saying? We don't, it's like, I just go back to it. He knew that if somebody would explain to him how to do that, he could do it. Are you following me? The problem that we have in the body of Christ today is it doesn't matter how much somebody explains it, we don't think we have that in us. He knew that he had within himself the ability to do that game if somebody would just show him how to do it. And then once he understood how to do it, he knew that he would keep doing it until he mastered it, until he got good at it. See, this is, watch this now. Enter the kingdom and become like crotchety old adults. Is that what Jesus said? Enter the kingdom and become like a child. What's a child say? A child says, you show me how to do it, I'll get good at it. We have to learn from this world that we can't do. Child believes they can. We have to learn to believe that we can't. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Now, the point, praise God. All right, we still got a few minutes. So Jesus taught in Matthew 13 7 parables about the kingdom. Most of those parables began with this statement, the kingdom of heaven is like. Are you following me? I got ahead of myself. Let me back up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm excited. Can you tell? Are we making some progress this morning? Okay. What do we need? We need understanding. We need understanding. Jesus said, if you believe on him, here we go. Jesus, you teach me how to cast out devils and I'll get good at it. How about this one? Teach me how to speak in tongues. And I'll pray in tongues when I'm in the shower. I'll pray in tongues when I'm driving in my car. I'll pray in tongues under my breath when I'm in the grocery store. Amen. You just teach me. Because again, every born again believer has the potential to build themselves up on their most holy faith by praying in an unknown tongue. Which is like understanding. But notice now, boy, you can measure the importance of something by the amount of resistance the devil brings, right? Right? It's not for today, it passed away. It's not for everybody. See, once you get past that, it is for today, then it's, well, it's not for everybody. Well, we don't do that at our church because we don't have an interpreter. Blah, 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 blah. All of that's lack of understanding. Right? It's because it's how you look at it. One of the biggest numbers the devil tried to play or pull on our family was we were raised in a church that said speaking in tongues is of the devil. Right? Because, man, if it's of the devil, we won't. Or as my mama would say, pure devil. You know what I'm saying? It's no skim devil or 2% devil. It's pure devil. You know what I'm saying? Whole fat devil. Amen. Come on now. That's pure devil. That's pure devil. That's only the devil would tell you speaking in tongues is of the devil. And that ought to tell you right there how much it terrifies him that you can cooperate with the Holy Spirit and pray in a language from heaven, speak the language of heaven, and pray a prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit in perfect alignment, in tuned with the will of God for your life and for a situation. See what I'm saying? So the devil's, oh man, this is curious. I'm seeing this in the Bible. Oh, it's not for today. It's not for today. Well, I know somebody that I really trust that does pray. Well, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. It's resistance, right? See, some of you right now, you don't think I have said nothing like this, but I've done this so long, I already know what some people, maybe not in this room, maybe online, amen, they're thinking, he doesn't think I'm a good Christian because I don't speak in tongues. I never said anything about that. That's resistance. That's resistance. Well, I just don't even know if I want to. Do you not want every good thing Father God has for you? Do you not? Jesus said it was to your advantage that he go away and send the Holy Spirit. Do you not want we need every advantage we can get. Just teach me how to do it. I'll get good at it. Amen. Not, oh, I can't do that. That's not for me. That's not for today. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Are you seeing this, how this works? Jesus said, you'll lay your hands on the sick and the sick will recover. How about this one? Jesus, you teach me how to effectively share the truth of your gospel so that men and women can be born again. And I'll get good at it. I'll do that. Brother Copeland shared something with a consultant. It's actually, an airplane broker that he works with and helps a lot of ministries that need aviation in the ministry get aviation. And this man had become a dear friend, but he just, he talked about God and this and that. But Brother Copeland just kind of got a check in his spirit that the man wasn't born again. And I'm gonna watch it back and get it verbatim, or Pam can maybe tell you verbatim. But basically, this is how Brother Copeland approach the subject. Some of you got family members you need to have this conversation with. And this is how he brought it up. He said, I think the man's name was Bill. He said, hey, Bill, let me ask you something right quick. It's obvious to me that you believe in God. You talk about him a lot. But has there ever been a time in your life where you purposely called upon the name of Jesus to receive salvation? No, you're going to hell. No, that's right. Just, I know you believe in God. Yes, he's the man's already in agreement. Yes, of course I believe in God. Okay. Well, has there ever been a time in your life where you purposely called upon Jesus to receive salvation? The man says, well, you know, Kenneth, I never have. Well, would you like to right now? Yes, sir, I would. See how simple that is? I just taught you how to do it. Now go get good at it. Right, just again, ask coworkers, hey man, I know you believe in God, but has there ever been a time where you've purposely called? See, people say, well, I believe in Jesus, okay? So do the devil. Right. Amen. Have you called upon the name of the Lord to receive salvation? That's different from believing in God, right? Now, there's not a person listening to me right now who can't do that, and there's not a person listening to me right now who doesn't know of somebody, a neighbor, a family member, a coworker, somebody like that, that you're not sure if they're born again. My dad basically asked his younger brother that question. And buddy, he just told him straight up, yes, and told him about being baptized in water and all that stuff. But again, dad wasn't sure. Want to make sure, right? Some of you remember his brother, Uncle Howard, my Uncle Howard. Dad asked him that question. He's fixing to go into have brain surgery. Daddy wasn't sure. Now, they went to church, West Highlands Baptist. But Dad wasn't sure. So we just asked him. And he hadn't been. He said no. Right? Well, guess what? It took about 30 seconds. And he's waiting on me in heaven, all of us in heaven right now. Knew nothing about this, Brother Don. Mom and Dad went to see him after surgery. He was there in laying in the hospital bed, was kind of raised up a little bit. And he just had his hands up like this. And he said, Brenda, why do I just keep wanting to lift my hands to him? He know nothing about that from the scriptures. Somebody had come alive in him, right? Just sitting there with his hands up in there, tears strolling down his face. Grateful heart, transformed man. It's by his nature. He's crying out to the source from which he came. I heard Stephen Steinle say something like this. He was just sitting on a park bench in Pakistan. He struck up a conversation with the man. What do you do for a living, sir? Well, this. Like, he asked, finally got around. So, you know, you can begin the conversation this way. Well, so what do you do, sir? He goes, well, you know, he said, I have a very interesting job. I travel around the world helping people get closer to God. Well, obviously, it's like, what kind of job is that? I was, you know, it's just open the door, right? Teach me how to do it. I'll get good at it. Not a lot. See, the devil's wanting you to think, I could never do something like that. You know. Listen, I'll pray with anybody that you know that needs prayer to receive salvation. You don't need me for that, though. You can do, you and the Holy Spirit can handle that. As Pastor Lawrence said, handle that a little bit. You can handle that a little bit. That ain't a hard job. Amen. It's a big deal, but it's not hard. Are you with me? You follow me? But if we start from this position that we can't do it, that it's not for us, it is for you to do, by the way. It is 100% the assignment of every born-again believer. Just have the conversation. People you're connected to, right? Listen, you can blame it on me. You can say, hey, my pastor was talking yesterday and it just kind of made me think, you know, me and you've been friends for a long time and I know you believe in God, but he told me to ask you. Just blame it on me, right? He told me to ask you, and I'm gonna do what my pastor said. Have there been a time in your life where you've purposely called on Jesus to receive salvation? Are you following me? Who's the one that tries to make it seem hard? The devil. Why have you never thought to do that before? Resistance. He's trying to keep you from doing stuff like that. All right, you're getting quiet on me again. All right, so Jesus goes through all of these. Yes, Holy Spirit, amen. Let me tell you what most people know. And this is the world's perspective on this. This is religion's perspective on this. Is receiving salvation is about getting into heaven when you die. That's how the world looks at it. But if you read the scriptures very carefully, salvation is not just about getting you into heaven when you die. It's about getting heaven into you while you're here on the earth. Do you see the difference there? But that's the, back to the word again, that's the understanding the devil never wants people to have. They just think about, well, we're going to go to heaven when we die. We're going to go to hope. Oh, sure, I'm hoping so. Yeah, I'm trying. Again, it's lack of understanding. This is how they look at it. Jesus looked at it as it's Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. You get born again, you enter the kingdom. You get born again, you see through the kingdom. You see into the kingdom. You get born again, the kingdom's in you. You get born again. You see all this, right? That was the plan of God. Always has been the plan of God. But what's missing here? If you, listen, the devil's hoping you don't believe me, but the same kingdom that produced every result Jesus produced on this earth is in you now. The only difference between what he did and what you have done up until this point is understanding. Jesus understood there was no problem greater than the power and authority and the resources of his Father's kingdom. And that kingdom was in him. And he was operating as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, king of that kingdom, actually, here on this earth. Oh, got you, Pastor Mark. No, he says he's made you kings and priests unto our God. Amen. I want to stand here like to 3 o'clock. I know I'm not going to do that. Don't panic, especially if you're a guest. But this is what we're talking about with understanding. So Jesus does these 7 parables, 1 chapter, 7 parables. And at the end, he asks the disciples point blank, do you understand all this? And they very quickly said, yes. And Jesus answered, this is from the Message translation. He said, then you see, right? Then you see how every student well trained in God's kingdom is like the owner of a general store who can put his hands on anything you need, old or new, exactly when you need it or anytime that you need it. That's the potential that's within every born again believer right now. He's long since passed, but some of you live around here, y'all remember back in the heyday, Gober's grocery store down here. And every time I read that about a general store, I was helping a friend one night work on a Campbell Hausfeld air compressor. And we needed this part, and it wasn't just some little piece of pipe. It was a sure enough part that you probably needed a model number for and order it. This was back long before Amazon, all that other stuff. And I'm like, man, I have no idea where we're going to get one of these parts. I mean, you know, he said, I bet Mr. Gober's got one. I said, man, I know he's got some stuff down there, but he goes, well, let's go down there and see. And he's sitting back here, that sawed off shotgun, smoking a cigar, and you know, he has a white apron on. And he looked at it for a minute. He said, I don't know if it's the same size. Hold on a minute. He gone here rummaging through stuff. If I'm telling you the truth, that man walked back with one of them parts. I was like, there's everything in here. There's everything. Do what now? He done got good at it, ain't brother? Amen. That's a man who can put his hand on anything you need, anytime you need it, old or new. This is an old compressor. He had one. Amen. Okay. So, see, that's in you right now. That's the potential that's in you right now. That's the potential that's in every born again believer. Do you see why you're such a serious threat to the devil? So your born again spirit determines your potential, but somebody holler out, what governs it? Your understanding governs it, see. Your understanding governs it. Praise God. Stand with me. Amen. I got to quit rewriting the introduction because there's some stuff past this that I'm really wanting to get you to. Yes, sir, brother. You certainly can. All right, I'm not going to tell you how old this man is, but he's a lot older than you realize he is. Okay. I was going to tell it if you weren't.
Yeah. Okay. This come to me a few years ago. I was at the eye doctor, and I was going to get cataract surgery eventually. Well, I was sitting in the waiting room, and there was all these people there. And this man was talking, and he was 75 years old, and he didn't know God. And this lady got up and walked over to him and says, do you know Jesus? And he says, no. She started talking to him. I got up. Other people got up. We went over, and we got him praying for him, and he got saved at 75 years old that day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we can, you know, we run into people all the time, every day. And we all need Jesus. And all we got to do is just put forth, like he said, we'll get better at it. We'll get good at it. Like Pastor Mark says, we just have to put ourselves forth to do these things.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Love you, brother. So the waiting room of the eye doctor, that's a good place to get your eyes open, isn't it? Right there. Amen. All right, so what I thought you were going to share is something you shared with me. Give our brother a hand. He's fixing to be a great, great grandfather. A great, great grandfather. His great grandson's expecting. Amen. He and his wife are expecting a baby. Praise God. Amen. Do you see why the book of Proverbs says, get wisdom and in all you're getting, get understanding. Get understanding. Amen. Amen. Father, you're helping us. You are helping us. You're talking to us, Father, where we live. You're helping us focus on the things that will make the biggest realization of change in our lives, Father, and that is the renewing of our minds, the transformation of our lives, receiving the engrafted word with meekness that's able to save our souls, bring the same radical transformation to our understanding that's already taken place in our born-again spirit. Father, forgive us for dismissing you when you speak to us and we respond with, I can't do that. You know, Oliver could have said, Granddaddy, that game's too big for me. I don't know nothing about that. I don't want to play that. No, he said, no, I don't know what that game's about, but you teach me how. Father, your word says we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. And so, Lord, help us. And I believe, Father, we're going to hear testimonies very soon. Very soon of people who just simple question. I know you believe in God. Have you ever purposely called on Jesus to receive salvation? We're going to hear testimonies of folks getting born again, Father. We're going to get good at doing it. Good soul winners, Lord. So, Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you for helping us and loving us, teaching us. Devil, you will not steal this word from us. But we're going to walk in it and experience the growth. Do the new, dig out the old. Lord, we're experiencing a transfusion of understanding, Lord, from your holy word and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much for being here. Good things coming. We'll see you Wednesday night, if not before.